The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying across it, against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord. Meredith is scared because now I'm in the pulpit. And there is a reason for that. I'm up here today, or at least for as long as I can make it, because I need you to hear me. I need to start this morning with an apology. Looking back at my preaching post-Easter, I have noticed that it has gotten rather dark. Sermons should be based on love and joy. They should be based in hope. And so much of what I have felt the need to share with you out of my own arrogance and ignorance has been dark and full of anger and fear. So I apologize. I see this as a failure of faith on my part. I have forgotten who I am, who we are, and whose we are. In just the past few months, hell, in the past few days, we have seen one display after another of hatred and bigotry. From shootings and bombings to crimes against children, both by the religious and political institutions of this country. And I gotta say, for me, that piece about the children is a tipping point. But as I said in my apology, which I hope you take sincerely, I have forgotten who I am and whose I am. I have forgotten to remember all the wonderful things in my life, in the life of this parish, in the work that God is doing in our midst. It was just overshadowed by so much darkness. But as John reminds us at the very beginning of his gospel, the light cannot be overcome. Just this past Sunday, a number of members of this congregation, with a number of folks from St. Thomas's Roman Catholic Church and Peter Claver Roman Catholic Church, gathered on the front steps here in the damp, in the cold, and we prayed together. Then we listened to the story of a 17-year-old refugee. He's in 11th grade at Hall High School. And he told the story of how his family had been driven out of Syria, literally with bullets flying over their heads as they escaped the Jordanian border, of life in Jordan, of being thrown out of school in Jordan because of getting in a fight with a Jordanian boy who was bullying his little sisters, of 3 years of no formal education, at which time his father had him learn English. And he did really good. Good, that's a joke. And as he told the story of this horrendous childhood and the suffering of his parents and his 5 siblings, he told it with a sense of joy that I found really difficult to understand until he got to the end of the story. He talked about all the wonderful things that this country has done for him and his family since he got here, about his transferring to Hall High School, and what a wonderful experience it has been, and how welcome and accepting the students have been. He spoke of this horrific childhood with a smile on his face, with a sense of gratitude in his words and in his voice. And I gotta tell you, I was a little ashamed. To hear from people who go through so much and come through it so well is amazing. It speaks to the Spirit of God dwelling in all of us. Today we celebrate All Saints' Day. So the question is, what is a saint? My definition of saint is one who lives into and shares the light and love of God. People who live in and the light of God and bring it into other people's lives and world, living or dead. Let me tell you a story about a young woman that I hope most of you know, at least by name, if not by reputation and story. And I apologize up front, I cannot pronounce her last name. Malala Yousafzai, better known as Malala on the world stage, was born in Pakistan on July 12th, 1997. She is one who worships the loving and living God through the lens of Islam, the tradition in which she was raised in. Born in Pakistan, as I said, in July 12, 1997, her father was a teacher at a school for young girls. In 2008, when she was 11 years old, the Taliban overtook her village and the surrounding countryside. And they forbade the education of girls. They closed all the schools where girls were attending. Malala spent the next few years speaking out on behalf of girls' rights to be educated, something that her father had instilled in her at a very young age, that they were worthy of the same education that her brothers got. In October of 2012, Malala was on a bus, a public bus. A man boarded that bus and asked, "Who is Malala?" She was pointed out. The man walked over to her and shot the 14-year-old in the head. After many surgeries and much time, she began to speak out again, this time louder and more forcefully. In 2014, she was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Now lives in England with her family and attends Oxford studying philosophy, politics, and economics. If you don't know this story, just Google it. It's real. She's amazing, amazing young woman. Great sense of humor, brilliant, full of light and love. Again, from such hardship to such amazing, powerful love. Again, it's humbling. That's who we're called to be. We're not called to be people who dwell in the darkness. We're not called to be people who hide in our caves. We are not called to be people who roll stones between us and the rest of the world. We, like Lazarus, hear the voice of Jesus to come out. Come out into the light, come out into the love, come out into the joy, come out into the community and share that joy, that sense of hope. Throw off the things that bind us, whether it's fear, anger, whatever it is that keeps you wrapped so tight. Throw it off. Live into the resurrection. That's who we're called to be, resurrected people. There's a reason why almost all, not all, but most Episcopal churches do not have Jesus hanging on the cross. We are resurrection people. Lifted out of the grave, lifted out of the cave, pulled out of the darkness that seems so overwhelming. But it can't be. It can't be the end of the story. It's just way too depressing to even consider. And we know that there's more. We know the story of Easter. We know the story of Jesus. We know the story of the Spirit that is inflamed in all of us. We have a different story to tell than the one the newspaper's telling. We have a different story to tell than the politicians are telling us. We have a different story to tell than the TV is telling us. We have a different story to tell than those who hate, those who hurt. We have more light to bring into this darkness than they can provide space for. We can fill that cave. Whether it's out there or it's in here, we have a story to tell. We are all called to be the saints of light. And I know some days it is just so daunting. Some days it just feels like it's just too much. But we're better than that. We're stronger than that. We have a power that they don't have, or that they don't accept. So please, do yourself a favor. Do the people you love a favor. Do your community a favor. Shine that light, that love of Jesus Christ, whenever you can, wherever you can. And on those days when it's really, really hard, it's that much more important. We have a story to tell. Will you please join me in telling it?